Hey everyone. So this is episode 7. I don't know if you can hear. I'm a little sick, so my voice is weird, but secret, small secret. I actually had a very important week this week because I had an audition for a thing that I got close to. I don't know if I got it, but then I got sick for it, which you're not supposed to do. Shh. But I don't think they could tell. Maybe they could tell. We'll see, I guess. Anyway, I'm very happy to be able to still do this podcast. I'm sorry that I'm bringing it to you a little late. Had to do with a lot of extra things going on in my life, but this still takes some priority, I hope. I have a great episode ready for you. So she's somebody I actually had the pleasure of working with recently for an extended period of time. We wrote on the show together, which will be out at some point. This is what I always tell people. I'm like, I wrote for some things that don't exist at the moment. So this one is in particular very special because it's actually something called branching narrative. It's like a type of show similar to Bandersnatch, which is on Netflix right now, or similar to if you've ever read Choose Your Own Adventure books. Basically, the idea being that, when you watch a TV show, kind of just plays out in front of you. But this, we have different scenarios where, you make a choice as the character, and then that leads you down a different path than if you had made the other choice, et cetera, et cetera. So it was really fun to write for. I think it kind of fed the part of my brain that was like, I'm nerdy. And do you guys have that part of your brain? And Scarlett, who I had on the podcast, was my co-writer, and she was amazing. So, we got really lucky. We kind of were, well, in myself, I was kind of hired outside of the crew that knew each other. And so, I don't know. I was a weirdo. Maybe I would have been a weirdo. But we got along fine, and we're very good friends now. So I was really excited to ask her on the podcast. Not only was she a fantastic writer, she also acts and just does a variety of things that I think make her a really inspirational person and well-rounded human being. I think that's really hard to come by these days, is just like finding things to build out your life with, especially when I think we're always told to kind of focus in and be like the narrow person that everybody sees you as. But listen, you're human, and you gotta do all the things that make you happy. So I think that's what I've learned a lot from this conversation with her, and I think you're gonna just love it because we're goofballs. It's a lot of fun. So this is Scarlett Birmingham. She's great. Have a good listen. Hi, Scarlett.
Hi,
Yay! I'm so happy
Sierra.
to be hanging out with you again, considering we worked together for a while on Epic Night. I guess, can I say that? I
Yeah,
don't
you
know,
can say it.
maybe.
I've never seen one NDA about anything.
Okay,
So I'm like,
I'm gonna say the whole script. So we're gonna read the script verbatim.
We're gonna post the script on Instagram later.
That's fine. But yeah, that was our writing job for a while, and now it's happening. I
Yeah.
guess it's being produced. I mean, you know more than I do,
No, I
because
barely.
do you? I don't know.
But the feeling is so mutual, and I also feel like it's so rare to be kind of to get to work with someone like randomly that you also like totally get along with that you
Ooh,
didn't know at all
yeah. Oh, I
before.
know. What a pleasant
Friendship
surprise.
magic.
Yeah, it was great. But yeah, I mean, I guess, would you like to introduce yourself
Sure.
with anything in particular? I know you as Scarlett Birmingham, but maybe you have a special. No, just
I go by Scarlett Birmingham most
kidding.
days.
Good,
I
good.
actually, it's my real name. My parents gave it to me, and they thought it up all by themselves.
Scarlett's like a really cool name. I don't know any other Scarlets, I don't
I've
think.
met a 5-year-old Scarlett.
Get her out.
She's dead. She's dead to
No more.
me.
None of that.
There can only be one.
Yeah.
No, I think it's becoming more popular. I was born Scarlett with one T, and then my mom went and got my name changed like 10
Oh.
days into my life to add
Cool.
an extra T.
Yeah, is
So
that the typical spelling? I actually don't know.
I think 2 T's is a typical spelling,
Oh,
but if you go
cool.
to Starbucks, they'll add an E on the end.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of
Scarlett.
fancy. Yeah, I mean, I
Starbucks
feel like it's kind of special, the E on the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've always it's been a name. Actually, you have a very cool name too.
I mean,
Sierra.
I guess I
That's an
you
unusual
don't think about
name.
it too much, but I guess so.
Yeah, names are funny like that. You
Lots
kind
of
of stop
fun.
thinking about them
Right,
after a while.
but I mean, that's why I bring it up. Because to you, yeah, to me, yours was different.
Oh, the feeling is so mutual.
So yeah, here we are.
Well, I'm very excited and happy to be here because I think you're the coolest. And yeah, we've been working on this project, it feels like, since what, spring, last spring.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
for like six, seven, April 8 months. Yeah. I don't know. Almost a year.
That's crazy. Question mark. And then, you know, we had a little break and then we came back for a bit. Again, I don't know if I can talk about all these top secret things
that we haven't signed any non-disclosures for. But no, it's exciting because I feel kind of going into that project, it's a branching narrative show. As you know, ooh, I'm like, yes. Who am I talking to?
I know, yeah. For all the listeners. But yeah, so like Bandersnatch.
Yeah, not,
but not
no
that.
Bueno. it was, I think, like a crazy thing because obviously being like kind of writing in a normal narrative way, this was such a heavy lift, I think, up top. And I just feel like the first few weeks of us working together, we were like a beautiful mind. And
oh my God, so many post-its.
So many post-its and just trying to figure out like vertical, linear, sideways storytelling. And it made me such a snob watching Bandersnatch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is...
we actually watched another example.
So basic.
Like, they need... Let me see their post-its.
This is how, receipts. Yeah. This is how we never get a job on Netflix, this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, sorry. We dug into your past.
We heard that you hate Bandersnatch.
Yeah, that's their crown jewel.
No, I love that it's... I love that it's a thing because I feel like it's great for our show and it's cool to like just... It's cool that people are doing that.
Yeah.
And
because that's such a mainstream... thing now.
Yeah.
It feels like. But yeah, when I was, I don't think I'd ever thought about that too much, like branching narrative outside of the book format of like choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. Like I used to read those, but
yeah.
Then that's not, never done it online except for, oh, there was a thing. So I used to play Neopets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big part of my identity. I'm sorry. Anyway.
So don't be sorry.
Let's figure out a way to bring
We're
it
We're going
to
talk about plants for 40 minutes later.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's kind of like my plants. We'll get into that, but yeah, Neopets. I think they had some sort of adventure game thing where you could design your own and you create like. But it felt like more like a game. I think everything had always been pitched as a game, so the idea of it being a show, more equated to a television show, was new.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
And I know Echo, the studio, is not like super into it being called a game, but like personally, in my kind of heart, I'm like, it is does feel like a little bit like you're playing something, like you're playing from like the point of view of someone, but it's not like you're, it's not a video game. It's just like you're getting to make the characters' choices for them, which I think is so cool. Yeah, it's been fun. So I feel like between like Andrew and Lisa, Andrew's directing it, and Lisa's been our showrunner, I guess, technically.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And kind of they're in the casting process and stuff right now. And and so I guess it's the plan is that it starts shooting end of March. So so it'll
good.
Become a real thing.
That's exciting. I do sympathize for the actors to go through all the different crazy weaves and changes.
Yeah,
that we've made them go through.
Insane, because I'm like, you just have to track it. Like it's like hard enough being an actor, like tracking your shit.
Right.
Sorry to swear on your podcast.
Completely different thing. Yeah, yeah. No, you can.
I'm gonna swear for the next 20 minutes.
I always make sure to check the little explicit box when I upload the thing.
Because I said shit once.
Yeah. I'm like, now we're in the PG-13 zone. But yeah, so writing, obviously, that's like. You do write, but you started as an actor.
I started as an
actor.
And
that's, like, very exciting. And I've seen you act, and it's brilliant.
Namaste.
It's amazing. But it's
You're
cool
very
that
sweet.
You do both, because obviously, like, you know, the more things that you can do here, I feel like, the better. But
what's
that sort of been, like, I guess, transitioning into writing, but also coming from an acting background? And
It's definitely one of those things that, like, I hit... Like, I, you know, acting was my background. It was something, like, I've always wanted since being a kid. And I was, like, I hit a wall. I moved here to L.A., like, 2000, beep, bop, boop, 12, something like that. And I, you know, was here for a few years, and I just, like, hit such a wall. It kind of felt like starting over because I'd been in New York. And it's such an out-of-control feeling, and I feel like that's kind of, like, the cliche actor thing to say. Like, you don't really have any control. It's, like, so subjective and, like... A lot of untalented people have massive, high-paying jobs, and a lot of really talented people never get a job.
Sure,
It's just
you're like
what?
What's
going on? And then there's a lot of fair things, and there's a lot of unfair things, and I'm like, you're kind of just responsible for yourself in the end. And I hit a wall, like, really hard at one point, like, around 2015. I was like, I need to, like, whatever the definition of insanity is, like, this is it. I need to do something different
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
without, like, like giving up. I was like, I'm not, that's not an option to me. So I started writing, and it, you know, it's one of those things. I think I thought that I wasn't ever a writer. I was like, no, I'm an actor. I'm an actor. I like reading. I like reading. I like characters, blah, blah, blah. And the feeling of being like, just trying it and starting and being like, oh, I've been reading good and bad scripts for so many years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're kind of learn, as long as you're reading, you're kind of learning.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is like, I don't know exactly how it happened. I just started doing it, and it's been the most surprising, like fulfilling kind of career detour, but also another career. And I think ultimately for me, it's always been kind of to get back to like writing for myself and like acting more, but I've had such a great couple years writing and like doing projects like this and taking my own shows out. And it's, yeah, it's like, it's been great.
Yeah.
Also like so being alone and like being with my computer.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. Cause I can find that kind of tough. Like I forgot how isolated it can be in the sense of like, you know, when we're working together, it was like, oh, fun, get to see Scarlett and Lisa, like,
such
every day,
a delight.
And it's, like, fun, and, I mean, I know that's not always the case, depending on who you're working with, right, but we were lucky, and then kind of going back to being like, oh, yeah, and then now I guess I still have to keep writing on my own, but I gotta do it. I'm pointing at my desk over here. I literally sit there, like,
I see.
Like,
I see that desk.
Yeah, y'all,
it's, that like, desk has history.
It's a total mess, but,
that desk can tell some stories.
Yeah, lots of fun. But, yeah, but if you're okay with that, too, like, if that's something that's not a problem, then I think that's a good thing, because it is such a big part of it,
I think. And also having like just kind of respecting the way, you know, talking about positivity, idea of like the way you want to do it, the way you want to work is the right way. And I think there's like, you know, coming out of acting school, I think there was a lot of, I carried out a lot of like dogma about like, this is the right way to be an actor, this is the right way to like do the business part of it. And all the people that I was noticing are like, were really working like immediately right out of school are the people that like really were just true to their own quirks and their own point of view and their own self. And a lot of people that came out of school being like acting robots were the ones that were struggling the most. Like, I know how to speak loudly and clearly on stage at night, like hire me. And it's like, okay, cool. You're really well trained, but you've like lost yourself in it. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably applies for people that get out of film school or like, or have been writing all through college. Not everybody, obviously, but some people come out with like kind of a dogma of how things are supposed to be done. And I think that the beneficial thing for me with writing was like, no one had told me like how to do it or not do it. So I had this like dogmatic acting view, but with writing, I was like, F it. Like I'll do whatever I want. And that I wish the thing that they had drilled home harder in college was like, your point of view is the only thing that matters in the end. Like it's, if you like, cause there's so many people out there doing the same thing. And at the end of the day, like every story has been told. It's like, how do you tell it? And like, that's valid and that's important. And I guess they sort of told us that, but I'm like, that's all we needed to know.
Right. Maybe only that. And not,
I think,
yeah,
no technique. Don't like teach anybody anything. Just be like, your point of view is what matters. But then I guess that's how you get like a lot of assholes running around thinking they're super important.
Sure. They block everything else out. Yeah. So it's a balance, but that's a good point. I wonder like, so with the sort of acting techniques that you learned, was it a thing like that maybe would work better for other types of acting, or is it just that because LA is so specific, or like TV is specific, or is it that it just would have worked, or I don't know, or like it's a good basics, I guess, and then you build from that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, because I think it's like just keep learning always, but there's definitely like, I think kind of like if you can't be flexible, then like you're hard to. I don't know. That's a good question, because I think of like people that got hired as actors, like doing like great, like, you know, just big shows, like right away. They're just very unique people, mm-hmm. and like very like quirky, or very, and like really leaned into that. And
cool. Yeah.
I don't know. It's
like
all such
a, or something.
I also feel like such an asshole being like, I know anything.
No, I think this all makes sense. And I have heard that before, like the sense that, you know, find what makes you you. And it, I think maybe it's because it's being packaged in like a little bit of a, like, everybody's special way that I turn off to, where I'm like, oh, okay. But actually, there must be a way to do this, right? But then, of course, like, if you're somebody on the other side, like looking at a lot of people and kind of just like going through the motions, and then somebody sticks out and it's like maybe not good, but it's weird, like that could still be good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then like listening to the weird inner voices and demons and joyful things inside your own head and not trying to do it. This sounds like so cheesy, but like not trying to do it the way other people do it or not trying to like imitate people. And I think like, it's just easy when you feel like you have a massive amount of training in anything to be like, this is the way you do things, right, as opposed to like kind of listening to what's inside.
The inner voice. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. Cause then, yeah, getting caught up in like the method of the way things are going. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
You know, stuff, the biz.
Yeah. The biz, man. We got to talk about it. We covered it. We covered everything.
I have these new bogey neighbors that are real bogeys.
Oh, right. Discussed. Yeah. A little bit.
They're moving out at the end of April. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Really delighted. Yeah. They fight and they scream a lot and it's terrible. But the way they first introduced themselves to us was like, hey, are you guys in the biz? We're in the biz.
Oh, right.
And I was like, ah!
I don't know what that is. yeah, that's maybe not
red flag
to, yeah,
introduce yourself.
Like maybe that's a code language for other people like them, where then they click right away, or it's a complete like get away from me thing.
That's a really beautiful way to think about it.
Yeah, everybody has their soulmate.
Every bogey will find its tribe.
Yeah, exactly. But what were they doing? What did they do again?
One of them, I think, is like a camera person. I don't know what the other one does. I feel like they're not going to be listening to this podcast, but they're terrible. They like scream expletives at each other. And like, I respect everybody fights in different ways.
Yeah.
Like being in a couple, a long-term relationship is a challenging thing. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. Whatever floats your boat. But like they're terrible. They scream. I can't even begin to, like, I would not even come close to saying the words that they've said to each other on this podcast, because it'd be like.
Is it creative?
X-rated. It's not creative. It's just nasty. It's just.
Right.
So nasty. And I'm just like, oh my God, they were supposed to leave in January. Now they're leaving in April. It's okay. This is my personal life that we're dealing with it. We're working through it.
This is part of. Stay positive.
Yeah.
We talk through the issues.
Yeah.
And then hopefully they leave.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
It's like kind of a witchy, like seance situation. Mm-hmm. Like there are all these crystals and candles and plants in between us.
I like tried to water it before you came because I know you care about the green guys.
I care so much.
This one I got from Osh or something, and they had it spray painted like that already. And
I was
like,
gonna say.
That's cool. Or I thought it was the actual plant, and then I realized, oh no, it's definitely paint. It's
Wait,
so weird.
Let's talk it's about great. This for a second, because this is a really beautiful plant, and yeah. I was like, I was gonna ask you, like, why is it so beautifully like multicolored? Because it's green, but then it has this like purple and gold situation, and I was like, what kind of succulent is this? And
I got fooled.
Now I know it's spray paint, but. It looks like it still is happy on the inside.
Yeah.
It might not be liking the spray paint on these ends.
Yeah, I'm just like, why? Well, it fooled me into buying it because I thought it was special. So maybe that's why.
It is special. And it's still happy in there.
Mm-hmm. I water it when I remember to podcast.
You only water this plant when you podcast.
This podcast is happening. We need a plant.
It makes the table festive.
Good, right?
I'm into it.
Yeah, I was thinking of getting, you know, like wall things.
But you don't want to distract your guests.
I don't. Yeah. It's going to be way too many things going on. So we'll keep it minimal. But I mean, this is plenty already.
I love this plant.
But great transition into plants.
Plants.
Big fan of all your plants.
How many people do you think just turn this off right now?
You know, look, you got to stay, you know, if you're not, what is it? If you don't like me at my plants, you like me. You can't like me at my whatever.
My plants.
Yeah, you're my plants. Still the plants.
That's definitely how the saying goes.
Yeah. So there you go. They can suck it. But yeah, you know, I mean.
They can succulent it.
Oh,
sorry. Never again. Oh my God. Fire me.
Great stuff. My sister's also really into plants and gardening. So, you know, you guys would be best friends. We've been over this. Haven't met yet. She does live in Long Beach. It's a little far. But,
can't wait to meet her.
Yeah, you guys are going to be best friends. But fiddly fig.
That's
a standout.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. What are you? Passion fruit. You made me a passion fruit. She made me a passion fruit cocktail out of actual passion fruit that you grew on your porch deck thing.
It was the best day ever.
It was the best day ever and like the best drink ever. And like I've never had passion fruit fresh like that before.
Kind of like tangy, kind of tart.
Great stuff.
So good. Yeah. So I was trying to create some shade on my back porch, summer in LA, you know, and I grew a passion fruit vine. And like harvest is very exciting because there's so many things you can do with it. You can just eat it fresh and raw. That sounds nice. So terrible for some reason.
No, but it's passion fruit. It's okay. you can talk graphically about passion fruit.
Make some cocktails. So yummy. Yeah, I like gardening a lot. It makes me feel kind of like an old person. But I think it's very therapeutic for my brain. And I really enjoy watching things grow.
Yeah.
And I don't have a pet or
it's
a child.
It's a similar idea, though.
It is.
A living thing.
It's very similar, but a lot less responsibility.
Right. And less tragic if any disasters happen.
Significantly less tragic. I've cried, though, before about a plant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one?
Okay. So the fiddle fig. The one. So I got this fiddle fig. It touches the ceiling. Mm-hmm. It's tall.
Yeah.
It didn't touch the ceiling when I got it. So we've taken good care
That's
of it.
Crazy.
I knocked a leaf off. Thank you for your support. Mm-hmm. When I was trying to restake it to like get it to go straight again.
Yeah.
I was leaning and I knocked a leaf off and like where the leaf got knocked off, it started crying. Like this like sap came out.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was like, but it was like white milky sap. Oh, this is getting too graphic. But, and then I was like, oh my God, what have I done? There's this book called, is it The Secret Life of Trees? The Hidden Life of Trees? That's all about how like trees in the forest communicate with each other. And it's genius. It's written by this guy. He was like a former lumberjack forester. He like cut down trees for a living and he became a Sequoia National Park guide. And now he's like an expert on all the Sequoia trees.
Because he like fell in love with the trees.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of like Snow White when the hunter lets her go. You know,
it's you're like Stockholm syndrome.
He fell in love with, he fell in love with her, right? In that short amount of time.
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to go get her heart for the queen.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I forgot the plot of Snow White for a second. Please go farther.
Because she was more beautiful or whatever. Classic, girl on girl crime. And then she. Like, he's like, oh, she's so beautiful, I can't kill her, so he lets her go.
Yeah.
And that's why she lives, but, so it's like this lumberjack, like, he fell off the trees and then became their guy.
It is like the lumberjack.
Because it's so beautiful. I mean, sequoias are next level craziness. So what was he cutting down, sequoias? No, he was cutting down,
like, normal trees.
Okay.
I don't think you're allowed to cut down sequoias.
No, definitely not. Yeah, that's bad.
Are they called sequoias, or is it just Sequoia Park?
There's
Are
definitely
they red?
Some sequoia trees, but their redwoods is like maybe the larger grouping.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We clearly know a lot. We love plants.
I love it. Yeah. Well, I mean, great stuff.
Yeah.
But.
Totally recommend this book. It's like about how like trees communicate and they'll share root systems and they'll like lean towards each other to protect each other. In the spring, if you put your ear up to them, you can like hear the water going up. Yeah. It's kind of nuts.
Whoa. That's crazy. I know there's like the biggest organism or something is a tree or is definitely mushroom networks.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I guess they're not kind of plants, but yeah, they like tell each other and then they like suck back into the earth if something's coming.
Talking about fungi. Yeah, they're smart. There's a theory in this book that like plants can change on a cellular level based on like what they're experiencing, whether it's weather or like trauma in another plant. And that, plants don't have brains, but they have like the ability to adapt cellularly within their lifespan.
That's crazy.
Right up my alley. Who needs a brain when you got plant cells?
Yeah. That's why I remember my dad told me one time, like, oh yeah, mushrooms or like fungi, they're the only things that are like evolved as far as humans or something. And I was like, oh, and like every time I eat mushroom, I'd be like, oh God, it's like flesh. Is this human? What am I doing?
I feel like your dad might not be 100% right on that, but
yeah, I'm not sure what he meant by that, but he just says a lot of cryptic things where I'm like, but especially as a kid, I was like internalizing it. Like his word is God. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This mushroom is human.
But you know what? He might be right.
Like, I guess it's about maybe the amount of species that has, like, if you, like, draw a map, it goes the same height. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, fungi in general. Fungi, this is taking a turn. This podcast is getting gross.
Yeah, we're going down.
But, like, the idea that fungi is just, like, needs the presence of water to grow. Or is that
That's
just...
it?
Yeah, I think so. Right?
Sweet deal.
Yeah. pretty smart organism.
Good shit, yeah.
I heard a bad joke the other day.
Ooh, go. I'm ready.
Why should you never be friends with Adams?
Why? Why?
Because they make up everything.
Stupid. Stupid.
My dad sent it to me.
That's a good dad joke. Yeah, when I say stupid under something, it's like a positive.
I actually know that about you.
Okay, good. Because it's stupid good. You know?
I know that about you. Okay, good.
Picked up on all my
things. We know each other very well at this point.
Fair enough. But great. And so, fungus, yeah. I mean, having the plants. When did you start getting into that? I guess...
Well, I don't have a space for, I have a lot of pots on the back of my porch, and I just, I think when I moved here, I started getting into succulents, because that's like the only thing you can grow, cacti,
super
succulents.
Trendy.
Super trendy, super Instagrammable.
It's very Instagrammable. There's a cactus shop down the street.
I don't know about this place.
Listen, okay, so it's called Hot Cactus, LA.
Uh-huh, into it.
I followed on Instagram.
Oh, you're very popular.
I have a... So yeah, I follow it on Instagram and then I subscribe to their newsletter.
Oh, you're in it.
On email. But then they just send me stuff for Hot Cactus New York. They have a New York branch. And I'm like, don't send me these things because I can't go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a disaster. But
I might go after this.
Yeah, you just walk down the street.
Oh, fabulous.
It's like very small and you can spike yourself easy, so be careful. But
fabulous.
Lots of spikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to wear gloves for that business.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's like it's getting like fiberglass in your hands when you handle those certain cacti. It's like,
oh god, they come off and they can't come out. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, no, I'm into it. I like sharing plants with people. I like growing plants. I like seeing things grow. I don't know, it's pretty special. That's, I think nature's magnificent. It also like is a nice reminder that, you know, in regards to staying positive, like
bringing us back,
the world's very beautiful, as jacked up as the world can be on some days, a lot of days. It's like, I don't know, I think getting out into nature is kind of a hard thing when you're living in the city, and it's pretty mind-blowing to me, you know, watching a plant grow.
Yeah.
I don't sit and watch it, in fairness. I just, like, it's in my house, so I notice it growing. I'm not, like, sitting there and...
Sure. But that's the beauty of it, because it's like, then you look back and it's grown.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's crazy. Little marker of time when there are no seasons in this city.
Right, right. Yeah. Except for when it snowed yesterday, so
yeah.
That's a big thing.
Well, hail and snow yesterday.
I wanted to ask you about Mimi.
Oh.
If that's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's totally good.
I don't know if that's also top secret.
No, it's not top secret. Cool. Oh my god, please let the world know.
Yeah, no. So that was like a big, transitioning back to old biz.
The old biz.
Boogie biz time. Yeah, that's like kind of the goal, I feel like, of a lot of people who are performers but definitely writers, is like creating your own thing and then pitching it around, and like you did that.
So yeah,
what was that like, and like that whole, even just dreaming up that idea, because it was a very like unique idea.
Oh, thank you. That's namaste. Why. Honored to be here. No, that was one of those things. So I wrote the show called Mimi Dating Women, and it kind of came out of that time when it was maybe like the second or third thing I ever wrote, just because it was coming out of a time where I was really struggling, like, what am I doing here, and going to like really sad commercial auditions where like everyone's wearing the same thing as you, and just fun. It's really awful. You're
really
like,
makes you feel unique and,
yeah,
individual. Yeah,
really special. It's very much about kind of like not moving here necessarily, it's not about that, but kind of my experience having a hard time realizing like that I didn't have a lot of good female friends. Like once I moved to LA, like a lot of my friends are back in New York, and how awkward it can be in your like late 20s to make new girlfriends. Like it's like feels like dating, and you're trying to like, and like there's this article I read that it takes 200 hours with someone to like actually establish a meaningful friendship, and those 200 hours can't be at work and they can't be in like a group setting.
Oh.
Yeah. What? So this would count towards our 200 hours now.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a big part of why, you know, I do this podcast is like adding on those hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you have
absolutely
extra time.
Always trying to figure out ways to make friends here.
Yes, exactly. But that seems rare though. I guess like, could it be work but lunch, or like work but fun yappy times.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's all about fun yappy times. Okay. So it's basically like, you know, and I think there's, that might not be completely accurate, but the idea being like, it does take a lot more than just going out to lunch like once a year, you know, to like make a friendship, a new friendship.
Yeah.
So you can cross off everybody that you've had lunch with just once a year. No, but the show really came out of wanting to explore that idea and just noticing what it was like to try to establish new female friendships after kind of my my closest girlfriend was kind of like on again, off again with her boyfriend and like, and feeling sometimes, you know, like you have those friends that you sort of lose to relationships for a while and they come back or whatever, and kind of just navigating all that. And I was really obsessed at the time with like the idea of this woman being an artist. I'm like, well, I don't want her to be like an actor or a writer because that feels like so cliche. So like, what if she's a visual artist? Cool. And I like got really obsessed with Alison Bechdel's like Fun Home and stuff. And then I realized that the Bechdel test is named after Alison Bechdel, and I hadn't put that together. Like, I mean, this was like 5 years ago when I started this, so like maybe that's okay. But the Bechdel test being that like more than two or more women on screen or on stage talking about something other than a guy, it passes. So, and this is like pre Me Too and pre, I don't know, the current administration and stuff, and feeling like this was, it was really just important for me to unpack it. So, I wrote the show and I had this amazing artist, Alden Leonard. He's on Instagram. Incredible artist. He's based in DC. I went to high school with him. And he did a lot of the art for the show. So it's a hybrid live action comedy with animation about this woman and all of her dates with all these different friends. And we had this amazing company, Big Cat Productions, came on to produce it. Danielle Ford is a genius. And then we got Kelly Ripa's company to come on and produce it. So Milojo. So we took that out in the fall. We like went to like a ton of awesome, really huge places. It all went super, super well. We did not sell the show. It was like completely devastating for like a week. But we are still planning to like take it back out in the summer, ideally. And it's been a massive learning experience and a great experience, mainly because even though we didn't sell it, it's just opened up a lot of other doors for me. And it's been a project that I felt really was my point of view and like really did represent me fully, as opposed to just like, here's a concept and an idea. And like there are a lot of good writers out there, but it's, I think it's just so hard to find the thing that like is so personal and put it out there. And I did genuinely feel like this was personal to me. And, I've enjoyed it so much. I think like the, you know, we did like Amazon and Showtime and Comedy Central and all these places. And it was so fun to go in and pitch and like prepare for it. And it just felt like kind of like a hybrid of performing and also just talking about something you're really passionate about. And that was like really, truly thrilling. So it was like pretty big bummer that we got like great feedback, but it was a pretty big bummer to not sell it. But I'm also like, that's the first time I've ever gotten to do that. It's the first time I've ever gotten to like properly take something out. So yeah, all in all, great experience. Would have liked to sell it.
Sure.
My bank account would have liked me to sell it.
Yeah. Small details. But yeah, I mean, it's still something that doesn't die, you know?
Right.
So that's really good.
And it's always very satisfying to hear like not satisfying, but like to hear about shows that took like 7 years to make, you know? And
a lot of the ones on TV now
took forever.
I know. And even with like big veterans of selling stuff, like still.
Yeah.
Why? But
yeah. I mean, like what Breaking Bad took like he went to like a jillion places before AMC did it. And then even, Pen 15 that's on right now. A couple of our friends made. Right. And my...
I haven't seen it. I want to, though. I don't have Hulu. I need to get Hulu.
You got to get Hulu.
I gotta get Hulu. I will, for that.
I can give you my login.
Okay. Yes, that's... All right. Interview's over.
We got to go watch a show. Yeah. Andrew wrote an episode of it.
No way.
And then Maya and Anna, we went to college with.
Okay.
Andrew's
my
person.
Because I know... Yes, and I know I saw them in, or I saw Maya in Plus One, which was great.
Yeah.
And you were great in it.
Oh, my gosh.
What a fun.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, we're excited about that too. So it's been like a great, it's been a great year, especially just like in terms of writing stuff and that whole project. And it's like, it is kind of reassuring to be like, oh, a lot of these things take forever. Oh, the reason I brought up Pen 15 was because they did a proof of concept for it. I feel like back in, oh, maybe I'm not allowed to say this, but I'll just say it, is they did a proof of concept back in, I want to say like 2012-ish. Oh, okay. Like that, yeah. It's been like that idea has been cool. Percolating for them for ages, and it just got released on Hulu. So I'm like, this shit takes forever.
Right, it's a process. Yeah. But the fact that you even landed on something that you feel strongly enough to stick by, I guess, is probably the hardest part. Because then if you have the stamina to like weather all that, because you know it's good, then like hopefully.
Yeah, and hopefully you like don't get sick of your own idea.
Right.
Course, it's just like, you know, when we're like, you know, home in our pajamas writing like all day some days, and we're like, why can't everybody be faster? We have so much time. I'm like, call me back, guys.
Right, come on.
I just sent you another draft. Like, read it now. Yeah. Drop what you're doing and read it now.
Nothing else to do.
I'm very impatient.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, it is. So, like, what was the process or what sort of things did you learn from also, like, the pitching itself? I don't know. I guess it's a little bit of inside baseball of that specifically.
Yeah.
But it's like, pitching any idea to anything.
I mean, I think it seems like it kind of varies depending, like my background's in performing, so I kind of treated it like I am basically going to memorize this and then act like it's not memorized, you know, like I just went in so crazy prepared. And I think like the thing that was fun for me, but I can imagine it might not be fun for some people, is that like they ask the questions people would ask afterwards, and I'd be like, oh, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm gonna make something up right now and like act confident about it.
Yeah. What's your secret to that? Dish. Or like
filibuster. Just keep talking until it starts making sense.
So was it like crazy questions about future, like being like, what would happen in season 3, like that sort of thing?
You know, it wasn't as crazy. I was anticipating it being that crazy. I was anticipating be like, so what happens in like episode 7 of season 2, and like being and like, no, it wasn't like that. It was bigger, like more, it's bigger stuff, like what is like driving this character, or like what. And like, kind of, are we going to get to see other like aspects of their relationship that aren't necessarily addressed in the pilot? And kind of like, it was often about like other characters, and like kind of just general format. I don't know. They weren't like gotcha questions. They weren't like that bad. And I found that the crazy thing was that I kind of expected this whole process to like be walking into rooms and it being just like a panel of people in suits.
You know? In the dark and you're like in the spotlight.
Yeah. And I was like going to be standing and presenting. Yeah. And I did my pitch for my managers. They're like, what the hell are you doing? Sit down. And I was like, copy that.
In like a meeting.
Very conversational. Very. And I was like, I'm an actor.
This is my podium.
But, you know, I'm sure everybody does it very differently. And, but the cool thing was I was walking into these rooms and I was just like continuously like, oh, these are like people my age. Like these are people that are wearing the same clothing I'm wearing and very much my age and just like very chill. And I'm like, oh, all the executives are not 50s and 60s. They're like, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And, you know, they might be like junior executives in some case, but it was just generally people that are like, we're kind of, they could be friends of ours, you know?
Cool, yeah. They're plugged into the...
Yeah.
The youngs.
Yeah, the youngs, exactly.
They know what the youngs are doing.
You don't sound young saying that, Sierra.
I mean, that's...
I can say goal. That because you're so much younger than I am. Plugged into the youngs.
Yeah, exactly. That's my secret, is I say youngs, and that way I was like, oh, maybe she's very sophisticated.
She's got the lingo, the young people lingo.
I mean, that is very exciting. I feel like just to kind of also pull back the curtain on that too, where then, you know, if you're going in the next time, it'll be even less intimidating.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's funny. I saw one of these guys at one of the companies that I pitched to at a party in December, and I couldn't place him for the life of me. I'm like, I know that guy. And so I like walked up to him and I'm like, hey, how do we know each other? And like, we put it together, and I think I like was a little bit too intense. I'm like, oh, I pitched a show to you. Yeah. I think he was like afraid I was gonna be like, why didn't you buy it? No, he was very nice.
Oh, that's good. That's exciting. Like, I feel like in a scenario like that, I always get worried, so I just don't go up to the person. Or a lot of times here, it's like, or they're famous, and I'm just thinking I'm their best friend, and then I'm worst. Like, oh shit,
that famous. Is the worst.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I feel like I know you. Like, yeah, have we met? Like,
oh, I don't know. Maybe went to high school in the area I did. You know, I think because they get that a lot.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to like play it off like maybe we do actually know each other, but I know what's going on here is you've watched me on television.
You're on TV all the time. And I'm the idiot.
Right, right. No, I mean, but so as a result, I don't go up to people, but I feel like, you know, then later I'll be like, oh, I should have because actually that was somebody that I did.
I only don't go up to people that are psychotically attractive that I recognize. I'm like, if they're that attractive.
Oh, then maybe, yeah.
And I feel like I recognize them. I'm like, it's definitely because I've watched them on something.
Right. They must be a star. Can't be that good looking.
But if they're super fugly and I recognize them.
You're like, here's some guy. Yeah, that's great. Hilarious. Yeah.
That's a mean joke. I don't really feel that way.
I mean, it's not our doing. It's the Los Angeles machine of good looking people.
It is.
I like keep trying to watch movies and then or like it's like because we get so conditioned to be like everybody's good looking because I watch them on television and everybody looks like that and plays it modestly. But then I think most recently I've come to realize sometimes I watch stuff and I'm like, no, I don't believe this anymore because you guys are too good looking and nobody could do that and be humble.
Yeah. 100%. I feel like TV is getting a lot better about that. I feel like
putting more like real folks on.
Yeah, that are just like really stinking good actors.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely something I feel like growing up was something to like a weird mental hurdle, like you had to look this way to be an actor or something. Sure. And it's like, no, there's so many varieties of looks and people looking more like normal people now that are just really great at acting because I think there's better writing and better TV shows and
like characters are actually need to be real.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's good.
I buy it more.
Yeah, I mean a lot more shows too, so I guess it's just by nature of that.
So many. So many shows. What are you watching right now?
Oh, I just watched Russian Doll.
Oh my god. Oh, I did too.
Yeah, I feel like
don't you sort of feel like it should have been a branching narrative show?
Ooh, I mean, it definitely felt like it was, you know, because it was playing so much with, like,
time
being cool and, yeah, such a time warp thing.
I'm obsessed.
Like, it's exactly what people need.
Uh-huh. I had that feeling. I've had it twice in the last couple months. I had it with Sex Education as well. I finished it, and I was, like, just jealous. I was like, I'm just jealous I'm not a part of this.
Sure, yeah. Such good stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Sex Education is great.
Great characters.
I don't know if I've watched anything else.
I mean, Russian Doll, that's like that's a mouthful. It's a mouthful?
I watched it like all in one night.
Yeah, too. So did I.
Yeah, of course. How else can I?
You know, the first two episodes, that's a lie. I watched the first two episodes a few days before and it was like, I almost didn't continue because I was like, okay, is this what this is going to be the whole time? And then I was like, oh my God. Ugh, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
Have fun.
Even if you're listening to this in 40 years, I want you to see Russian Doll with no spoilers.
Exactly.
So
I also think that, like, I kind of hesitated watching it because I thought it was like, oh, is it like Groundhog Day? Like, I don't want to watch that again.
And, yeah.
But then I did.
It's fresh. It's so fresh. So when are we going to write another show together?
Today.
Yeah. We're going to do it right after this.
We'll get the transcript from this podcast. That'll be the next show.
Right after this. It's...
yes.
I'd watch that show. I'd watch that show, Positivity.
Yeah. It's already got a name.
Created by Sierra.
But yeah, for sure. Love it. Well, Semi-Tropic.
Yeah, like...
We ran into each other the other day. It was funny because I like saw... I didn't see you walk in, but I definitely, like, saw out of the corner of my eye, like, somebody who had your mannerisms, but, like, from behind. So, like, I was
and
like,
was
that
me.
Could be your hair, or it could be somebody else's hair, but definitely only Scarlett would pick up the cup like that. You know, I don't know.
Now I'm going to think about how I pick up cups.
Oh, I mean, it's good. Don't change a thing.
That made me so happy. It makes me so happy. I love living in Silver Lake, Echo Park-ish, Los Feliz area, because I feel like I can't walk out of the house without bumping into someone I know, and I love that.
Oh, okay.
It makes, especially days when I'm, like, just at home writing and, like, going out and bumping into people feels very special.
Cool.
I honestly
don't bump into, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know that many people out here in this area. But I feel like I should. Like, I live very close to a former boss of mine. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she's... I guess I don't know. Maybe she moved. But I just assumed I would run into her all the time.
Because,
like, I've house-sitted for her before, so I know, like, exactly where she
is. Yeah.
Not to be creepy. But she let me into her house.
Sounds a little creepy.
And, but, like, I never bump into her. I don't know. So that's the only person I would probably bump into. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, we had this very weird exodus of, like, from New York of, like, all of our college friends that kind of just ended up out here. Cool. And as previously mentioned, I'm quite a bit older than you, Sierra. So maybe that's this, like, all of our friends have moved out here. You're one of the youngs.
One of the youngs, no.
I'm 102 years old. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, just like within the past couple years or...
Yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of people living in... A lot of our friends from college in New York kind of moved out here and live in the same neighborhood. So that's
nice
when, you know, your long days, like, sitting in front of a computer, being in a 90-degree angle all day. To, like, get out,
yeah,
take a walk, bump into someone.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like semi-tropic, good place. I was talking to a friend that I wrote this thing, and I was asking if she, we were talking about it because I want her to be in it with me, and I'm kind of excited about it. Uh-huh. I got let go of this project that I've been working on for like 4 months, and it was just a nightmare adapting this book, and like I was so relieved to be out of it. I think that the next day I wrote a pilot, like, in, like, a fugue state of, like, it's not good yet, but it was, like, I just have to, it was so nice to be released from this thing I had been bound to, and felt like I had room in my brain, and it might be a stupid idea, but I wrote it anyway.
That's great. I need to get anything down. I feel like I'm, trudging through certain things.
Are you talking about? You're such a fast writer.
I mean, well, I felt like with Epic Night, it was, like, super easy to get stuff out there because
we'd outline the crap out of it.
Yeah, so much to go off of. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm just working on things that aren't as compelling. Oops.
What's your, like, work? Do you, like, get up in the morning and write? Or do you just, like, write when you feel like it? No, I make the same face. I'm not that way.
Get up in the morning.
Like, what's your, what
yeah,
is
it? I mean, I guess I, like, try to set deadlines, but I'm very much last minute when it comes to, like, things that don't have a solid deadline.
Yeah.
I'll, like, set an imaginary deadline, and then...
Yeah.
And then I'll, like, miss it. You know, I'll go past it by, like, a day, but I guess it wasn't real in the first place. So.
Yeah. I think you're crazy fast.
I like nighttime writing, even though I don't do it all the time, but, like, I can't... Like, during the day, I can get some stuff done, but if I'm really, like... I can't really focus until everybody else is, like, gone to bed.
I totally hear that.
And then I, like, binge watch Russian Doll while I'm trying to write.
Whoa, that's impressive.
Not really. I just had to do something that night. But I, of course, procrastinate. Because sometimes what happens, and I think it's, like, a weird mindset where I'm like, all-nighters are so much fun. Remember those?
Yeah, because you went to Harvard. That's why you feel that way.
Well, you know.
Being overworked, like, and stressed.
Literally, like, I remember just... You're sort of buying into a discern, because it's like, what's the difference between going to bed at 5 and pulling an all-nighter? Okay, we're just going to make an all-nighter, and then we have, like, if you aim to go to bed at 5, but instead you decide to pull an all-nighter, you have, like, 5 extra hours. So, like, I'm going to watch a movie. Yeah, it's a bad mindset to get into.
That's
intense. What happens is I'll be like, well, all-nighter. So I got, like, 3 extra hours. Maybe I'll, like, kind of do other fun stuff and make it fun. This is fun, right? It's bad.
Okay, that's insane, but I also feel like you're the only person I know who could pull that off, because your brain is, you're a genius person.
No, I mean, what happens is I just don't get any work done, but it's fine. We figured out. But yeah, I mean, well, here's another question, because I know you did, like, was it Pop
Physique?
What is Pop Physique?
Pop Physique is a bar studio that still exists. And
so it was bar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was a teacher for years. And then I started having, like, existential crises while I was, like, leading hamstring stretches. And it was kind of circa the time that I started writing. I was like, I have to reset.
Sure. Yeah. Got it. So not anymore. But.
No. But it was a great day job for a long time. And the best part of it was that I met, like, between clients and other teachers, like, some of... It was very... The kind of beginning of that working environment, I was just around so many women every day. Like, it's just there barely any dudes would go to a bar class. Oh, and
yeah.
It's like, because they can't touch their toes.
Yeah. And I'm a dude. I can't do it's very hard.
You could do, you'd be fine. Tough. You'd be great. You're very good alignment. very statuesque.
I'll have to tell my mom. She's always telling, you know, to sit up straight.
I could see you being a dancer in a parallel universe.
What a compliment.
You got to go write it down.
I'm like, wait, good, we're recording this. Okay.
but yeah, no, it was a great day job. And I love, I think that, you know, when you asked me to do this podcast, I was like, what? Am I a positive person? I was thinking about positivity in general. And like, I think, you know, motion is lotion. I don't know, moving. I think moving your body and like being flexible is such a flexible in your mind and your body is such a good thing, especially when you're in a funk or something, you know, like getting in touch with your mind body connection is important for me. I dare say it's important for everybody, but I'm no expert. But yeah, no, I taught for a while and I really liked teaching and I really loved the clients and the teachers and like some of the people that came out of that, have become very close friends. Like I've just like kept them in my life and vice versa. And, very much felt like it was part of the genesis of like writing Mimi was about like finding like female friendships and kind of, I think I kind of went through, I was one of those people that grew up like trying to be like cool girl that hung out with the guys, you know, in like middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. And realizing that like I need to lean more heavily on my female friendships as I get older. And how important that is to me. Oh, I'm getting sounding cheesy, but
yeah,
like,
awesome.
but yeah, it was a very weird work environment. I'm not going to like, you know, go into the naughty details, but like you can find it on the internet.
Oh, what? 'Cause the-
so much drama.
Of that specific studio, there's stuff about it on the internet?
Oh, yeah. But now I feel bad.
Oh, no.
Now I feel bad because I'm like, ugh, everyone's just trying to, like, make their way through this life. But that I'm being a little gossipy
right now.
Was it,
like, I'm so curious. Was it, like, politics?
It's everything.
I don't know.
You can
go. Within the staff or the customers?
Within the ownership.
The ownership.
If this is ever, if I like now I can't ever like share this
Lincoln
in the world. Lincoln bio. I mean, like, you know, Better Business Bureau, like what's up? Like I feel so gossipy, but it's always, here's the thing. It was always one of those things. Like there was so much internal drama. It was one of those work environments that like fed people being gossipy. And it was getting to a point where I was like, I'm thinking about this too much and I'm devoting too much time to like the drama at this company and I need to get out of here.
Oh, okay.
It was just getting so sad. Yeah. But it was also so like my friends would always be like, what's the latest gossip?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta
I'm like,
that.
Well, here's what happened.
Yeah. No, that can really make life exciting as well. But I'm sure it's also like,
Especially when you're like in a day job, you're like, but I do think like there are a lot of women that went in and out of those doors. That's a weird way to say it. That I thought were fabulous and just, I'm so happy that I know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a great way to like meet people in a way that's, you know, constructive mm-hmm. and then also a wide variety of people, not just sort of the same types.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the like mental physical thing, mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, when we were working, sometimes we'd be sitting a lot and you're always like, oh, I feel like you need to move. And I was like, oh yeah, that is smart. But like, I guess I don't build that into my life as much. I used to do a lot of sports in high school.
Yeah.
But I always saw it as like a chore kind of. I mean, I loved playing team sports. So basketball was really fun. But I quit at a certain point. I didn't have a future in it, unfortunately. I harp on this all the time. And it kind of, I think I thought in my head, like, oh, well, the absence of doing sports or something that I'm not really going to do with my life just means I have more time to do exactly what I want to do. So mm-hmm. it means that I don't need to replace it with more activity, you know? And so then I just kind of fell out of the routine of doing anything active. And then now I'm like, oh yeah, that actually probably would have been helpful. Granted, when I was in Boston, it was like so cold all the time. So it's like, I'm never going to do anything. And the idea of like putting on a coat, going to the gym.
Terrible.
And putting it back on.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'll be in my room. I'll be sitting in this chair. So then, yeah. But now we're so spoiled because we have good weather. So it's like hiking and I try to like jog. And jogging, it's an interesting, fun time.
Boring.
I work my way up. We have like trails around here, which is nice.
Oh, that's good.
But I feel like, you know, I do it mainly for the dog watching. And that's about it. Yeah.
Priorities. But, you could go to like a dog park and run around the dog park.
Okay.
Or you could find
one that
you could just like.
Oh yeah, they do have that.
You could find like cute dogs and jog behind them.
Don't mind me. I'm
you could borrow a friend's dog. Yeah,
I know. I need to get a friend who has a dog.
Oh, those are the best kind of friends. Dog sitting. I don't have a dog, but I do dog sit.
Yeah, that's right.
So great.
You had a dog.
Nadia. Nadia.
Did I meet Nadia or did I imagine meeting Nadia?
You might have met. If I mean, I posted about her enough, it makes it seem like she's my dog.
I mean, yeah, it's great.
You might have met her, Rachel's dog. It's, yeah, I don't know. I think that a lot of things, you know, people, I feel like, are always like, oh, I have back pain or I have whatever pain or I have this and that. And it's like, I think we're so used to like medicating for that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so much of it is like stretching. And I mean, obviously there are bigger problems that can't be addressed with stretching sometimes, but it's just... I think getting into your body and like being aware of what's happening is, as opposed to just trying to like put something on it to fix it is important. And you think of even just like blood flow. If you're sitting like at a desk for hours on end and you don't get up, you're like, things become stagnated. Uh-huh. And, I think it's so important. I mean, I forget to do it sometimes. Oh, but gotta recommend, you've seen it, the massage hook. Great for if you're sitting at a desk for a long time. You can find this on Amazon. You can find it at Target. It's a $20 plastic piece of plastic in the shape of a hook.
Use code.
This is sponsored by Massage Hook.
Yeah. One day.
It's so great.
Wow. Yeah, I remember, I got the spiel on it before and then I met it and it was like, lived up to the hype. It was great. Also felt very like, you know, so many things are like, you got to plug it in and it feels like some sort of thing that some engineer built. And I mean, an engineer definitely built this, but
it's a piece of plastic.
It's back to the basic, the simple machines,
Simple machines. It's just a piece of plastic that gets in your trigger points and you're using leverage. So you're not like cranking your shoulders up to do it. And it hooks over your shoulder and you just pull on those trigger points while you're like reading a draft of whatever beautiful thing you just wrote. It's a genius invention.
That is great.
It's the best purchase I've made in 2019.
I've told you multiple times that I've never gotten a massage because I don't think I could.
I'm going.
It's distressing.
Do you know why I have to go? I had to move time? I'm going to a massage after this.
It's important. But I don't know if I'll ever work my way up to that mountaintop.
I'm going to get you a massage gift card for your next birthday.
I think I'm very ticklish, so maybe I would just laugh my way out of the room or something. But it could work. It could still.
I love the idea of you actually laughing your way out of the room. You just kind of get up mid massage, and you're giggling as you walk out the door.
What are you even doing? I'm not touching you anymore. But that it does sound like the people who are into it love
so
it.
Into
like
it.
I have a close friend, and he's always like, I think I'm gonna get a massage. You know, it's sort of like that's the treat at the end of the day. Can be.
Well, if you're doing it every day, you've got more money than I do. Well, but
I got a membership.
Can we also, I'm going to just throw in a little, what's the right word? Endorsement for Massage Envy, the Starbucks of massage joints. Because what happened the other day, I clearly talk about it so much that my friend Aldis went and got a massage recently and told them I had recommended him to this place. Uh-huh. And they called me to tell me that I got a free 30 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So if you say, Scarlett recommended you, I will get a free 30 minutes.
Crazy.
Massage Envy in Los Feliz.
That's a lot. So wait, you went to that specific one, and that's the... I remember that being the favorite.
It is truly the most corporate massage place. They got in big trouble last year for, sexual harassment, but I still just,
Right. Well, hopefully they fix that.
I don't know what the advice is. I still go.
Yeah.
I have a great lady.
Yeah. Well, if you find your person.
She's my person.
Yeah.
We listen to podcasts together. We just started doing it because we were laughing at the spa music. She's like, it sounds like baby dolphins dying. And I was like, this must get so boring for you. So I was like, next time I'm going to bring in a book or a podcast. She was like, people always say that and they never do it. So I was like, oh, fuck. Now I really have to do it. Ooh, I just swore. Sorry. I brought in a couple podcasts and we listened to them. And I feel like I feel good about it.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she probably loves it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not going to relax, though. I'm going for people to get the demons out of me. Elbows.
Right.
I want deep tissue.
Do you do the, like, take a ibuprofen before, or?
No, should I?
I've heard that's a thing because
you really don't like massage. You're like, do knock yourself out before.
Yeah, make sure you get the anesthetic. Yeah, no. Do you ask for the high dose? No, but it's supposed to loosen you up so that you can get more. I've heard this from a friend who I think I've mentioned before. One of my closest friends from high school, she said her mom would give them really intense massages as children. So she's like,
you're using your, right, like, now she's Sierra, you know, is using her fist to make punching motions, yeah, while she does,
know, this. A tough massage, maternal massage. But yeah, use, you know, elbows, things like that. And so she's like, she always describes it to me like, oh, well, but you don't even understand. Like, I tell them I was raised for this. Like, in the sense that if you are cultivated young in anything, you can take it as an adult.
I don't think that works.
So this is what she tells the person. She's like, don't take it easy on me. Like, I grew up in this world. So that's, yeah. And she talked about the ibuprofen thing as, like, being a thing. Oh, and then, like, you pee after.
Whoa, I did not get any of these memos, but I will try it all.
If it gets out the right toxins and you're peeing the mouth.
You got to drink a lot of water afterwards.
Oh, we drink a lot of water.
And same deal. Like, lotion is motion. It moves it through. So you're trying to, like, cleanse. You're trying to, like, yeah, trying to clear out all the toxins. Yeah. So I guess peeing makes sense. But you'd have to drink a lot of water to do it.
To make sure you're replacing the pee. Wow.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm going to, like, get it on a Friday. I'm like, well, now it's Friday. I'm going to have, like, a nice adult beverage with some friends. Oh, and I'm like, that's probably the worst thing you can do after a massage.
I see. Yeah. Give it a couple hours. Drink a lot of Nalgene.
H2O. Mm-hmm. A lot of Nalgene.
Is that, hey, friend, the brand?
Yeah, that is the brand.
It's a brand of choice.
Got it at Target, where you can also get the massage hook for $20.
Uh-oh. Tell them Scarlet referred you to Target.
I don't think that's the way it works at Target, but I wish it did.
Who knows? Yeah, well, so that's a big deal. And then, oh yeah, the other thing I was going to mention is, so there's a yoga place, like, very close to where I'm at, mm-hmm. which is nice, because you just hike up the hill, mm-hmm. which is a steep hill, so mm-hmm. it's no small feet. And yeah. then you go down the other side, and there's, like, a staircase, and it goes straight. So I've done it once. Mm-hmm. And I could not walk the next day, like, cause I can't touch my toes. So I'm not flexible.
Your hamstrings.
And I'll try to, yeah. And I was like, peer pressure. I got to keep up with these ladies. So, like, I'm going to, like, get pretty close and be shaking mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I was just like, calves are shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what a time. But I mean, I have so much respect, much respect.
But that's that kind of thing. It's terrible the first couple of times. Mm-hmm. And then.
Sure.
Then it'll go away eventually.
Start to build those muscles or whatnot. Oof,
yeah, that yeah. feeling when you, like, can't sit down.
I mean, let alone walk.
It makes you feel yeah. sick. It, like, makes you feel like you don't want to, like, do anything.
Oh, totally. I mean, I didn't. I
yeah.
don't.
Yeah. Maybe, like, uh-huh. ease into it a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. I've done some, like, yoga with Adrienne on mm-hmm. YouTube.
Oh.
She probably, so, have you heard of that?
No.
I mean, it is, like, one of the more popular, probably basic, but I don't know. But yoga tutorials on mm-hmm. YouTube, and she probably makes, like, bajillion dollars.
Oh, I bet.
Because she has, like, 3 million views per video. They're long. They have ads. And
gravy.
She has, like, and it's the thing where you would watch it multiple times, you know, because you don't necessarily, like, oh, I need new content every week.
Yeah.
It's like, it's yoga. You
yeah.
can do the same stuff over and over again. So, I mean, work to, like, money ratio is probably off the charts. I don't know. That's what I think of when
yeah.
I watch it.
It's pretty genius.
Yeah.
My friend Sam, Shaped by Sam. There's another endorsement.
Ooh,
she teaches a lot of classes. Like, she teaches yoga. She mm-hmm. teaches, like, a lot of different places. Yeah, she's kind of trying to do that thing. And it is, like, a lot of people are doing that now. But it makes sense, you know, if you don't want to run to a gym or whatever. And it's probably cheaper. Yeah. Andrew used to work out in the living room, too.
Nice.
Oh, God. What's the guy's name? He's the guy that's, like, he was like, you love it, but you hate it.
And he's,
oh, no. Shanti. 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 Yeah.
Shanti.
Yes.
Okay, nice.
And he has a lot of good catchphrases. And he's like this hulk of a man. Just beautiful body.
You what is it? You don't love it.
You love it, but you hate it.
Oh, you love it, but you hate it.
Oh, no, wait. Maybe that's Tony Horton. He used to do Tony Horton. Sean, nice. That's Tony Horton. Okay. He's another hulk of a man. But Sean T is, like, he's fun, but, like, yells a lot. And Andrew would do that workout in the living room. And I used to film it because I thought it was so funny. And he doesn't know that.
Nice secret. That's hilarious. Yeah. I don't, do you like the yelling?
Like with the yelling?
Yeah. Are you motivated by yelling?
Not particularly.
Me neither. I don't like it.
I like maybe for like a second, and then I'm like, I'm never going back to that class.
I prefer not to be yelled at. I could see how it could be good for something like Soul Cycle. Like positive yelling, I guess. Yeah. Is that a thing?
I'm not interested in Soul Cycle.
Okay, I don't know anything about it.
It was very culty. I've never been. I don't like being strapped into a bike. I don't like my legs being strapped to something.
You can't get out.
You can't. You're like your feet are strapped to it. Yeah, no, I think
that's a no for me.
I feel like my knees would get ripped off.
I've only seen parodies of Soul Cycle, so I don't actually know what the real.
They probably are pretty accurate.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's not fun. But
not an endorsement of SoulCycle.
I can assume that. Yeah, I can assume that, like, if you're yelling at somebody, like, I don't think I like the, you know, high school football coach, princesses, get off your butts. I don't know. What do they do?
I think that you nailed it, Sierra.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I assume.
Give her the job playing a high school football coach.
But for other stuff, you know, maybe if it's like, get your demons out. You got this. That's...
I like the really calm, like cerebrally manipulative kind of teacher. Like, who's like, you could quit right now, but you're not going to quit. You could quit, but you're not going to. And like, they talk quietly.
Are they kind of, do they have your best interests?
They're like mind over matter. Okay. They're just like trying to push you, but in a quiet way. Like, I know this is hard. I've done this. I know this is hard. It's really stinking hard, but you only have 10 seconds left and you can do anything for 10 seconds. Oh. Yeah. That's how I used to teach. I used to, like, talk real talk.
Yeah, you have experience there. Okay, all right.
I don't like to be yelled at.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. Okay. And then, this brings me to, I mean, your person.
My person.
Your person.
My person.
What's it like being in the... I mean, I guess how long have you guys been dating?
We have a bit more than a year. We've been together, let's say 13 years with a little break somewhere in there.
Okay, yeah.
A long time.
Because from college, you met in college?
Yeah, we met in college, and he was in film school, and I was in the acting program. And we work together a lot. He's directing Epic Night, which is exciting. And he has his first feature that he did with his writing partner, Jeff is going to Tribeca in April.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, like, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. It's like, it's really exciting, and it feels like a big, you know, career step. And it's like, it's just, we have a lot of friends from college have kind of been just watching everybody's careers start to like grow and kind of blossom and all those like beautiful, cheesy things. And it's funny because like he, you know, going to the film school, like kind of coming out of school together, and I just didn't consider myself a writer. I feel like if he had woken up one day and was like, I'm gonna be an actor now, I would have been like, F you. But he was so incredibly supportive when I started writing in such a way that it's advice I'd give to anybody whoever is reading a friend's script or like ever working with anybody on anything. Just like I remember him saying after reading like the first thing I wrote, he's like, I don't want to like tell you too much because I think what you're doing is so like your voice. And I just think you should keep going. And I was like, I so value that's what he said instead of giving me like a page of notes, because I know I had like a jillion formatting errors. Like I'd never written in Final Draft before. I never like, there's like all these things that could have been really nitpicky, and he just didn't do that. He's just
that's great.
And I think he's really good about being like, none of us are experts on anything. We're all like doing it our own way and doing the best we can. And he could have been, I think he could have been really like, that's not how you do it. And he didn't do that. And I think that's one of those things that, like, is just a good lesson for anybody in a creative place. Because, like, art is hard. It's just, like, one of those things, like, nobody has the right to really be like, that's bad. They have the right to be like, I don't like it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's totally their opinion, totally entitled to that. But, like, it drives me crazy when people come out of movies. They're like, that was a bad movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you didn't like it. You couldn't find anything you liked. But someone else might like it. I don't know. So yeah, he's great. I like him.
Good. Amazing. But yeah, no, I mean, I was like, my parents actually worked together.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, not in like a creative space. They're like,
gotta get an appointment with your, gotta get an appointment.
Yeah, of course. You know, we've been working on this for a while. It's a long con.
Gotta get my teeth straightened.
In their office. But yeah, so basically, oh yeah. So then I think it was always interesting. Like, I don't know, that was sort of second nature as a sense of like working with a spouse or working with a partner. And then, of course, I think they would always be like, oh, you know, make jokes about like how they spend all the time together, which is true.
Yeah.
And then it's nice that they have like, if they have time off or time alone, like that's the, not the norm. Like the norm is to be together all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny. And I feel similarly because like work from home, my boyfriend works from home, but we're not doing the same thing. It's just like we're in each other's faces a lot.
Yeah.
But
and you guys kind of moved in not that long ago together.
Yeah, yeah. So that part's new too. So it's sort of like learning how to give each other space, but then also like being, it's like very convenient and nice to not have to like lug my stuff all over.
Yeah.
Be a nomad. But yeah, so I guess like what's it been like working with him too, and more, I mean, it's very cool because from what I've heard from creative people who have creative partners, that it's like easy to collaborate because then you literally just like have someone, and if you want to make a thing, like that can happen, you know, things like that. But yeah, what's your experience been like with that, because that's unique?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I think we're I don't want to use the word lucky, but we like each other. I guess that's lucky. I mean, like, you know, I think it's we're very compatible and it's like very easy to be around each other. So, I mean, speaking for myself, like, I don't think we too often get like sick of being around each other, and we work from home a lot as well. And it's funny. I mean, we're to the, you and I are technically done writing on Epic Night. But like he'll like wake up in the morning and like be working on something and he'll ask me a question. So I sort of feel like I'm still working on Epic Night. And I'm like, I am off the books now, sir. Like, where's my walking in? It's definitely like, I think we like not necessarily prefer working with each other, but it's really great for our relationship. I think also it was around the time when I started writing, like he was on a couple shows back to back, that were shooting, one was a Comedy Central show, big time in Hollywood, Florida, that Lisa Steen's person made. And it was just like, you know, when you're on set and you're doing that kind of thing, like the hours are so long, the days are so long. And the thing about being on set, I feel like, is you get to the end of the day and you don't want to talk to, you don't want to explain to someone what like happened during the day. Mm-hmm. You just like want to go to bed. Sure. It's one thing
how
if you were,
day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you don't want to like, you know, the experience of being on set and like the stupidest stuff becomes like the most high drama stuff. Like there are wrinkles in the curtain and we don't have a steamer and like, who cares at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. But in the moment it matters a lot. And so I think there's, there was an element like when he was on back to back for so many weeks on shows, it was really hard on our relationship. Like it was just challenging to spend so many hours apart and then also not have any bandwidth left at the end of the day to download anything. Mm-hmm. So I think like it's been, you know, when he made his movie, I was only working on it as an actor for like 2 days. And then I was on set every day. Like I also do photography. So I was set like as a set photographer and then like kind of just helping where I ever was needed. Yeah, and awesome. And that was like a great thing just because it was such a big experience for him to be doing his first feature that I was like, I don't want to miss this. You know, I don't want to like have that feeling at the end of the day where I'm like, tell me about it. And that person's too tired, you know, and that's not really even a reflection on a relationship. I think it's just the nature of being on set, like kicks the crap out of you.
You have to like maximize the hours.
Yeah. So that's a long way of saying I like working with him.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, and then it shows a lot, like if you're willing to put that extra effort out to be in the know of what each other is up to, you know, because like, there's also the option to just be like, well, that's more work for me. You know what I mean? Like, and then of course, I mean, that's just the sign of a good relationship, but I think that does.
Yeah.
You know, so that's good on you for like taking the time to take interest.
But a lot of learning, a lot of like learning, like that's the way we work really well. And yeah, you know, you should get to spend time with the person that you're like, with your person.
Yeah, I mean, ideally. but yeah, that's wonderful. I'm glad I got to ask about that. I guess probably wrapping up, but I guess sometimes I ask at the end if you have any like quick tips. We've talked a lot about great positive things that you already do, but if you have like one that sticks out to you in recent time that like, you know, if you're feeling down, this is kind of the thing that you go to or...
Yeah, that's such a good question. I had a couple weeks ago, I went through like 2 days of being, it was actually like pretty, it wasn't right after I finished or got let go of that job, but it was like the week after, because the week, there was a week I got let go of the job and I was, it was really easy to be like outraged about it and like talk to friends about it. I was like, and then like like after 4 months of whatever, just be like irrationally angry. But then the week after it really set in, I was like, gosh, damn it. I just did a lot of work for that. And I like was in a real funk for like 2 days and I couldn't get out of it. And I didn't want to form words. And I like was being an asshole to Andrew and just was like being generally sulky. And then like came out of it. And I was thinking about that a lot. Because I feel like there's things that occasionally like I'll have that kind of thing where I'm like, oh, what the hell is going on here? And it's a frustrating, it can be a really frustrating like job, whatever, this world, this particular entertainment industry can be really challenging. So I don't know. I sort of think like besides like, you know, getting out and moving your body is really important for me, like exercising. But the, just say honestly, not to just endorse your podcast, but to endorse your podcast, I think like listening to stuff and like reading stuff. Mm-hmm. So you remember like the world is bigger than you. And I don't mean like the internet. I mean like get as far away from the internet as possible and like read a book, like read a book or like, I mean, I guess a podcast is the internet, but like, I think sometimes it can, you know, when your world feels too small is when things get like really overwhelming. And, I think like kind of just expanding your kind of immediate world is really important for me. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
I feel like so similar because I think it's like, and I describe it as, I guess, or the key word I like to use that is like ego. It's like if that gets too big and that makes me feel gross, but it's like, it is true that then a lot of problems get solved by just being like, oh, I don't matter, you know, in like in like a zoom out way, not a like mean to myself way, but that it's like, or like this is not a big deal.
You matter, and like you matter to other people, and like it's not just about like you, it's like about you interacting with like other people who need you, or just like hearing other people's problems. Not to be like, let's go seek out people with problems, but like,
but I mean, oh god, yeah, I mean like even just knowing that everybody's going through the same thing, it's like, oh, then I'm not like in this weird thing where I uniquely have this bad luck or something.
Yeah, like everybody's going through some version of it.
Yeah,
like everybody's frustrated.
Oh, totally.
And everybody has great moments, I hope, but like everybody gets frustrated.
Right.
This might be the worst advice ever, but I also, and this is not like a, there, I think there is something to be said of like fake it till you make it in a lot of ways, but like I'm not like go around life just like with a fake smile on your face, but like there is the idea also that if you can like fake it a little bit, and even the act of smiling like scientifically releases endorphins to your brain.
Right. It's like the outside, the inside meets the outside kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I don't think that's gonna necessarily work in all situations, but it's not, you know, it's not the worst idea.
No, yeah. No, I've heard that say, I mean, that's definitely something I've heard a lot, but specifically, oh, what was it? Well, oh yeah, I know. I remember thinking like sometimes when I'm feeling isolated, another reason why that's not good is because like in social settings, I naturally have to fake and be like, oh yay, hi. And then that can make me happier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I do like to have, you know, it's, you know, I guess just going out and like actually talking to people is great. But almost for that reason, because like even though I don't want to be fake, it is just like you naturally do that to feel like you're trying to be matching the energies of other people or things like that, and then that automatically kind of brings you
it like catapults you out of your funk.
Totally.
I think that's such a good way to explain it. There's real quick, there's this book I was obsessed with for like a month a little while ago called The Course of Love, and I have a feeling the author is like kind of full of himself, but I don't know, but I really liked the book because it like the back of it said something like, everyone asks like how you first met, but they never ask like what it's like to stay in a relationship. I'm like, interesting. And like, I opened it up and like, I flipped to a page that was about when, like people are sulking and like people get in like bad moods with their partners. Mm-hmm. And how we would like never do that in polite company, but in with our partners or with like the people that love us the most, we're like, I'm just going to be stinky right now. And I want you to read my mind, because it's like coming back to this idea that like as kids, as like little kids, we're taught that like people will be like, are you hungry? What do you need? You're crying. What do you need? Do you need a nap? Are you hungry? What do you like? And they, and like adults try to read your mind as a kid. And so we're kind of conditioned from a very early age to think that the people that love us the most, like, should have this ability to kind of read our minds when we're upset about something. And so, like, when, you know, you're pissed about something and you kind of, like, are in a funk and your partner isn't able to, like, read your mind, you get kind of, like, you're not even trying to read my mind. Or you're like, I want you to read my mind. And this is, like, sounding like I'm a very passive-aggressive person, but it's just the idea in this book is that then like you walk into another room and there's like a party going on and you're like, hey, how are you? Good to see you. But you're a stinker with the person that loves you most. Right. And the idea that like our brains kind of do that, and they're very flexible and they're very malleable. And sometimes it's just like breaking the cycle that can help get you out of a bad mood. Yeah. And then you know how to go to apologize to that person later. Sorry, I was being a stinker. But I don't know. I think it's an interesting concept.
Mean, that is so true. Like that's where obviously we're most comfortable. So maybe that feels like the time to let that out. But then, yeah, the minute you have people over, you're not, you know, very comfortable with it can become like, oh, how come that was easy? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And but, it's like, yeah, it's a habit almost, sure. Like a cycle to break.
Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. I mean, like, I noticed I was, oh yeah. So I had like this stand-up video go up on YouTube, which is like, you know, great, happy about it. But YouTube comments, not fun, right?
Oy, yeah.
So, like, I've read, like, three, so it's not even, I just stopped.
I've gone down some bad rabbit holes in my life.
Right.
I'm like, I need Invisalign. That. Good God.
That's hilarious. I mean, yeah, no, it's like, it's just always not a good idea, but also, I think what I realized, too, is it's like, then I'll complain to Dylan, or, like, you know, something like that, and of course, it's fine, but I think then I had, like, a meeting with a friend we're like thinking of setting up this comedy show. So it was just like over lunch and then people we don't know because it's like the bar owner. So then with them, it's like, oh, everything's great. Okay. Yeah. We're doing great. Oh yeah. Uh-huh, awesome. And then the minute I like come back, I'm like feeling it again. And I'm like, what is going on? So yeah, I mean, it's just like interesting how, yeah, sometimes it does feel like maybe if I'm almost being with somebody close, this feels like being alone too. Not in like a bad way, not like isolated, but in the sense that like, with yourself, the things you tell yourself are so different than what you tell a friend, you know, of like advice or, you know, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And like, so you're
easier on ourselves.
And like some of the shit that we say to ourselves, yeah. I mean, I'm like totally stealing this from somewhere, but like that is like, we would never say it to another person, right, and we're so mean to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's right. They're right. Or like, yeah, agree with some of the comments. Sometimes the comments I'm like, oh, okay, this definitely is hurting because I think it's true. Mm-hmm. But like if you didn't think that's true, then like it would be fine. But like, I don't know, right? It's sort of a thing where somebody was describing it as like the reading comments is like the adult version of cutting. So you're like,
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, things where you're like, oh well, I guess if you're internalizing something that like some stranger said versus, you know, what a friend would say or something like that. But we totally do that.
That's, oh my God. Yeah. It's like if a stranger in their car like flips you off, like, and yells at you for like something you did while driving, like I that will stick with me for the rest of the day.
I know.
God, this guy the other day, I was just like slowed down because it was like an intersection. It was, he just yelled and I got sad.
Oh yeah. That's terrifying. I hate that. But yeah, obviously.
From the safety, like, the bubbles of their computer.
Had some. Yeah. You probably had like a bad day or something. Yeah. Like this isn't that bad, but I like was driving a rental car for a while and it had Nevada plates. And somebody was like, go back to Nevada. And I was like, I'm not pro Nevada, so they must not be yelling at me. And then it was like, oh, I am. I am
from Nevada. people in their computers and people in their cars are very scary.
It's a tough time.
Bubble safety, safety of their little place, their little private place. Right. I don't like it.
Metal box.
Yeah, so like stay away from the internet and like try smiling. No.
Uh-huh. Is that the advice? Yeah, be with people that you're
read a book?
Not, you know, that you're trying to put on a smile for, and then translate that to the people who you love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, validate your own feelings.
Mm-hmm. No need for, not only can you do this with friends, but alone. Yay. Yeah. Plenty of great, great stuff. I agree with all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a challenge. Yeah. It's a good challenge.
Totally.
Being a person.
It's a good challenge, yeah.
This has been a delight.
Well, thank you again for carving out some time.
Thank you.
Have a great massage.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
I don't want to make you late.
I got to find a podcast to listen to.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe I'll listen to one of your podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. You can. This one. I'll put it up. No, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.